grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. If you're here visiting with us, we want to make sure that you know that we're happy that you're here. Good to see you. If you're joining us by way of the live stream on our YouTube channel, we say a special welcome to you. And also, if you're listening in to the Cathedral podcast, welcome to you as well. Will you be seated for a moment, please? Just a few things to highlight by way of announcement. First of all, just to mention that when the time comes for communion, a reminder that we are not administering by way of intinction at the moment, so there is no dipping of the bread into the chalice. If you feel that you would rather not drink from the common cup, then simply don't do that and take only the bread, if you would. Also, if you can come forward by way of two lines up the center and return to your seats by the side aisles, that will facilitate our movement. We're going to be at the communion rail in at this end of the sanctuary today, so you can exit out both sides through the doors and then come down the sides. We're expressing our condolences this weekend to Burnett Burnley, whose sister Joanne died this past week, and funerals yesterday. So our condolences and sympathies to you, Burnett. So sorry to hear of your loss. Also, just to mention that this weekend, actually today, Kathleen Snow, in her role as president of Worldwide Mothers Union, was selected as a delegation of eight to represent the Anglican Church at the inauguration of Pope Leo the 14th. And so she is there today, I'm assuming. And so we remember our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters as they celebrate that today, and also our prayers for those who represent us. Just to mention that next weekend on Saturday is the 80th anniversary celebration of Camp Medley, and there are events there next weekend. Take a look at what's going on, and if that's something you can right into your schedule. They would be happy to see anyone, alumni, or any who would like to come and take part. That's next Saturday at Camp Medley in Gagetown. A reminder that Thy Kingdom Come will begin on Ascension Day this year, and that is the 29th of May. Thy Kingdom Come is a 10-day wave of prayer that has now become an ecumenical event each year. And there are various ways to engage with that. Keep your eyes open for ways that you can be involved. And that will begin not this Thursday coming, but the following Thursday, and run for 10 days until Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. And just a word about safe church issues. First of all, just to point out that fire exits, if they are needed, are at the west door and the south door. So it's pretty much suggested that if you're able to exit as you entered, but those are the two ways that we will exit. And to point out that at the back of the cathedral, in this corner, are first aid kits and also an AED, if we happen to have a cardiac event here. And also to mention that on the wall back there are forms for medical or accident incidents. So there's a report there that we can and should fill out if there is an incident among us. So those are all ways that we can be a bit safer as a church, and I commend that information to you. Is there anything else that needs to be announced? Brooklyn is home from hospital and doing okay? That's great, yeah. Thanks, Sandra. Well, our continued prayers for Brooklyn. Thank you. Anything else? We're worshiping today according to the green-colored book of alternative services. And it is the Holy Eucharist. And we continue now on page 185. Page 185. And I invite you to stand. At the middle of the page, Alleluia, Christ is risen. May his grace and peace be with you.
May he fill our hearts with joy.
And the glory to God in the text is on page 186.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But I replied, "By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But a second time the voice answered from heaven, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who was called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved." And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, "John baptized with water, and you, but you, will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? When they heard this, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Revelation to John. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." This is the word of the Lord.
When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also ought to love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. The gospel passage today takes us back to the upper room the night before Jesus' death. It was the night he shared the Passover with the disciples. The night he would wash their feet. Jesus offered his final words before his death to his bewildered, frightened followers. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. I'm with you only a little longer. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples," he said, "if you have love for one another." The passage begins abruptly. When he had gone out, it starts. The he there, of course, is Judas. The actions of Judas, acceptance of payment, tattling to authorities and a garden kiss, would set in motion a series of events leading to a cross just outside of the city the next day. It was Roman practice that those condemned to death were to be caused as much suffering as possible before that death. It was the death of the Christ. It was the passion of the Christ. Jesus said, "It is the hour in which the Son of Man and God has been glorified." Past tense, as if what would happen already had. And you know, St. John, the evangelist, takes great pains in his gospel to make the distinction between the Jewish followers of Jesus and what he refers to as the Jews. They were all Jews, of course, those who believed and those who didn't. So we do need to be cautious in our distinctions. And biblical scholars have been urging us to that caution for the last several decades. It's that makes the rubric in the Book of Alternative Services appear most appropriate. It says, the term the Jews in St. John's Gospel applies to particular individuals and not to the whole Jewish people. Insofar as we ourselves turn against Christ, we are responsible for his death. Human limitation, perception, and perspective means we are always at work making comparisons and drawing lines as the usual way of making sense of our world. It's not the only way, of course, but it seems to be the most common. We remind ourselves that there is dark and there is light. Up and down, in and out, this group and that group, this tribe and that tribe, and most of us are very certain to which tribe we belong. In his conversation at table, Jesus was clearly speaking to those who would follow as opposed to those who don't. He said, "You will look for me." That's a mysterious phrase. Future tense. You will look for me. And what should they look for? How are we to recognize him? In those who behave in such a way as to reveal that they too are his followers. How will everyone know who is a follower of Jesus? Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. An element of early Christian practice that impressed pagan observers was their crossing of social boundaries in caring for the sick and needy in times of trouble. Bruce Morrill, in his book Divine Worship and Human Healing, writes, "What distinguished the followers of Jesus and successive generations of Christians was their outreach to the poor and sick, the practical love they demonstrated in openly forming fellowship groups, local churches, that actively reached out in service to the poor, the hungry, and the sick." I suppose it's one thing to say we love our neighbor in our refusal to judge them, but it's quite another to actually do something. Sometimes loving someone on the other side of the world is a whole lot easier than the one you can't stand sitting right next to you. Jesus in John says to love one another. In fact, according to Rodney Stark, author of The Rise of Christianity and an authority on the sociology of religion, poor Christians in the ancient world were healthier and happier than their poor pagan neighbors. Why? He asks. Christians cared for one another. They took up collections to support their elders and orphan children. They offered each other simple nursing care in epidemics. They offered education and strong community. Stark writes in a past issue of Christian History magazine, to cities filled with the homeless and impoverished, Christianity offered charity and hope. To cities filled with newcomers and strangers, Christianity offered an immediate fellowship. To cities filled with orphans and widows, Christianity provided a new and expanded sense of family. Early Christians were called to follow Jesus' instruction. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Can we say that of today's church? Do we take care of one another? Offer charity and hope? Provide fellowship for newcomers, strangers, and care to orphans and widows? The radical revelation that came to the Apostle Peter, as told by Luke in the Acts of the Apostles, was that the divine mercy and acceptance, the invitation to become part of the community of disciples, is open to all, Jew and Gentile alike. The Jewish people through the ages have done a remarkable job as a marginalized minority to stay faithful to their religious convictions. We might even say that we who are privileged to enjoy Christian faith today never would have if it hadn't been for that Jewish resilience and sense of community. Jesus invites us in a new way into the tradition of the faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the vision to Peter of inclusion was repeated three times before Peter got it. Perhaps not a surprise, knowing Peter's past history with threes. The sheet descending from heaven, full of every creature imaginable, and none were unclean. Ancient law was about what could be eaten and what could not. It had come to be about who kept the law and who did not, about who was in and who was out. God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life, says Acts. Who's in? All who love as Jesus loved. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I invite you to join me as we turn to page 188. And as we stand, let us confess our faith as we say. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Gathered together in the name and power of our risen Lord, through whom the glory of God is revealed, let us offer our prayers to Almighty God, saying, Lord, hear our prayer. That heavenly peace may descend upon us and upon the whole world, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. That we may love one another as Christ has commanded us, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. That the church throughout the world and in this congregation may be united in peace, empowered by the Spirit, and faithful in its mission to all humankind, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. That those we name in Anglican cycles of prayer would be strengthened and reminded of the fellowship and support of the body of Christ, the Episcopal Church in Jerusalem and the Middle East, Hosam, their Archbishop and President Bishop, and for the Diocese of Western Newfoundland in our own province, and John, their Bishop, we pray to you, Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. That elected and appointed leaders everywhere will have their hearts turned to seeking peace, and that all who find themselves or their families in danger because of civil or political division, natural disaster, or social circumstance might find hope and safety. We pray to you, Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. That the power of Christ's victory over death may show itself among us, bringing freedom, joy, light, and life to those in need. We pray to you, Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those who have requested our prayers, Jillian, Donna, David and Donna, Charles and Jean, Pat, Dwight, Sue, Skylar, Aaron, Judy, Carolyn, Jacob, Stephanie, Neil, Brooklyn, Richard, Janice, Dolph, Len, David and Maureen, Heather, Cooper, Jeff, Lorraine, Savannah, and for anyone who you wish to mention aloud or in silence. We pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. Together with all others united to us in the communion of the risen Lord, for all that we need in this life and in your eternal dominion, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. Grant, eternal God, that we who are made one with Jesus Christ in the power of his death and resurrection may show forth in our lives the love which proclaims us his disciples, that the world may believe you and be saved. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Continuing on page 191, as we kneel, let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Will you stand, please? The peace of the Lord be always with you. Gracious God, you show us your way and give us your divine life. May everything we do be directed by the knowledge of your truth. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. The Great Thanksgiving Eucharistic Prayer is in the form of number 3 on page 198. You're encouraged to remain standing, but if you find you need to kneel or you'd rather be seated, you're certainly welcome to do so. Page 198.
The Lord be with you.
We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation.
By whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
And continuing on page 211. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we died with you on the cross. Now we are raised to new life. We were buried in your tomb. Now we share in your resurrection. Live in us, that we may live in you. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we stand, let us pray. God of love, in this Eucharist we have heard your truth and shared in your life. May we always walk in your way to the name of in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us go forth in